All right, welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt regular council meeting of December 4th, 2023 at 7:12 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2023, which was posted on the bulletin board, the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Louis Essikoff?
He's here.
Mr. Michael Hamilton is absent. Ms. Constance Hertstrom?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
And Mr. Joseph Trammell?
Here.
And Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here. Okay. Well, I'm going to dispense with the regular report tonight. We have a lot on the agenda. I have some things I'll talk about as we go along. So I'm just going to go right to public comment, agenda items only, and open the floor at 7:13 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to come in?
What's on the agenda?
You gotta look.
I can see it there.
You might want to save it till the last.
It's not the. Oh, there is one.
Anyone else while no one is looking at the agenda? All right, no, you can save it for the last public comment if you want.
No, I won't be here for that. I just have a question.
Well, wait, come to the mic and identify yourself.
No, Ms. Sherrick, for Maple Court. What's happening down Pine to Tamara, is that what this is for the grant?
What can you...
No, are you talking about Lake Drive and Spruce Lane?
I'm talking about Pine and Tamara.
Where do you see that?
I don't see it on here. I'm asking you if it's on the agenda.
Well, what do you mean what's happening?
With the digging, what are they replacing, that kind of stuff.
Well, the road's being paved.
Okay.
The water pipes.
And water pipes are being paved.
Not the sewer lines?
No, the sewer lines. There's one little stretch, maybe 15 feet, that they replace the sewer line.
Because there are these big giant tablets on the side of the road now. I didn't know what they were.
Dams.
What?
Copper dams. They dig the hole in the road and they put these in. It's over 3 or 4 feet, so there's 1 cave down on the side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a safety
thing.
Okay. Anyone else in the public? All right. Close public comment at 7:15 p.m. So I'd like to introduce to you Matt Wagner. Let me give you an official title. He's the captain in charge of Fire Prevention Bureau and is the fire official. And he's going to talk to us about proposed share services. Matt?
Good evening. So one of the last things that the Millstone Fire District has left to offer Roosevelt Borough was having fire prevention come in and take over your fire inspections. Currently, you guys are inspected by the state of New Jersey, and the state only inspects life hazard uses. This room is one, and the other one is a school. All the other local businesses in town do not get inspected unless there's complaints, which I believe the state was in for one of them recently, because it got word that maybe the water got turned off and the sprinkler system was shut down. So what we are offering is to have the Fire Bureau come in, take over your inspections. Currently, in Millstone, I have the town divided into four separate sections. Each quarter, I take a section, divide it between the four shifts, and the four captains go out with their crew and do the fire inspections. So it would be no different than what we do in Millstone. It gives us the opportunity to get into the buildings, make sure the buildings are safe for the tenants and the employees as well as the residents surrounding. So if there's any specific questions.
In which buildings can you go into?
So technically, as of now, the state can only come into this room and the school. We will be able to come into any commercial occupancy in Roosevelt Borough. We also conduct smoke detector compliance inspections for change of occupancies in single family and two family dwellings. So if someone sells their house, if they're renting, we have a permit process and application that we'll go out, we'll conduct an inspection, make sure you have your smoke detectors. If there's fuel fired appliances, attached garage or a fireplace, check to make sure there's carbon monoxide as well as there's a fire extinguisher.
That's part of the C of O?
That is part of it. So we were actually doing that in Millstone prior to the township actually doing the C of O inspections. So when the township came through and started doing their own CO inspections, we kind of just piggyback off of them. I produce a certificate, I get to the homeowner, and then or the real estate agent, then they pass it on to the municipality to get their CO for the closing.
I met a Bill Buehler, state inspector,
what?
Over at the factory. So you guys will take over for him?
Yes. Okay. So technically, the factory does not get inspected by the state. Division of Fire Safety, unless there's an actual complaint to that. The state only inspects life hazard uses. So, I can tell you from experience that it is a little frustrating. We've gone to the factory many times for fire calls, and there's blatant open fire code violations, and we kind of just kind of look the other way and walk out because we don't have the authority to enforce anything.
So, Captain Wagner, did you talk to me about this having more authority or more teeth than just the fire department showing up and noticing these violations?
So currently in Millstone, if the fire department goes out, especially being we're staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's always a fire inspector on duty. So if we see something, we'll go back, we'll issue a notice of violation and have the items corrected. Before we were there 24 hours a day, the volunteers would respond, they would see something, they would email myself or one of the other officers. We would then follow up with it in the morning. Currently in Roosevelt, as a fire inspector, as a fire official, if I see a violation in this room, I'd have to contact the state for them to come out and take care of it. If I see something in the warehouse or the well drilling place, if we go in there and there's a fire code violation, we have no authority to do anything. If Roosevelt signed on to a sheriff's service for the fire bureau and we see a fire code violation, then we can act accordingly and issue notice of violations and have the items corrected.
So what that is not part of the current contract?
Correct. There was three parts we had. First was the fire, then we came on board with EMS, and there was something else that we offered the fire bureau in the past, and it was kind of thought about and wasn't really acted upon. But I know there's some concerns with the factory, I guess, with changing ownership and changing use, and this is a way for, you know, someone other than when you sold the building and the construction official went in to make sure there was no open construction permits. This is a way for us to go in annually to make sure the building is being maintained properly and safe.
Start off on the right foot. Yes.
For any commercial business.
For any commercial business. So it would be the, you know, this building had a hold, the water plant,
the deli,
we would go in, and the remaining other few businesses we would come in. The way I work things is the state charges life hazard use fees, so I believe you guys may get a bill every year from the state of New Jersey as well as the school. There's also non-life hazard use fees, so the deli, the warehouse, the other businesses would get a small fee every year for us to come in and do the fire inspection. I do not charge our municipality or our schools any fees.
Would you charge them directly? Or?
Charge them directly, yes. Okay. So any special permits that are required from the township or the schools, I waive the fees because, in my view, we're taking money from one tax account and putting it into the other tax account. It doesn't make sense. So the individual will get an inspection fee every year, registration fee. And it would probably, not knowing off the top of my head the square footages of the buildings, were maybe $100, $150 a year for each building. But it would go right to them.
Do we pay for the state to inspect this thing?
No, they just charge the same fees. It's just a matter of...
So your life hazard use fee for this room...
And the school.
And the school, that stays the same. The state charges that, and the state bills that.
But if we drop that contract...
That still stays the same. The state still is responsible for billing. Okay. Any life hazard use, the state is responsible for billing those. There's special permits for cutting and welding. In the deli, imagine it's been a while since I've been in there.
Yeah.
There's probably a kitchen suppression system for their cooking. When they're open, that requires an annual permit that the state requires. So that's stuff that right now is not being done.
So that would be $150 a year.
Not for much.
No. It would actually, the invoices for the warehouse and the other businesses get sent directly to the business. The borough does not have to pay those.
Individual houses.
No. It's strictly commercial.
Oh,
strictly commercial. The only time there's an invoice for a residential use is when you're selling your house, and part of your COO is to apply for smoke detector inspection.
Okay.
And if you plan far enough out, it's $45 for the smoke detector fee. If you're last minute and forget about it, it's $161. Those fees are set by the state, and I mean, it's nothing I can
overturn.
Yeah. But again,
the town's not getting billed. You're charging
the
individual
residents. Business owners and the residents I get.
None of this would pertain to the fire that we had on Cedar Court.
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah.
There, we don't. In New Jersey, basically, your home is your castle, and the only way that we are allowed to come in is on change of use or change of occupancy for resale. Otherwise, we have no jurisdiction in a single-family house.
So it wouldn't apply to people who have illegal burn pits in the backyard where they're burning toxic and illegal?
Currently, the Fire Bureau does not enforce anything on a single-family dwelling. However, if you call the fire department, we have the authority to come out there and enforce that and make them extinguish it. We then will contact the Division of Forestry. They'll come out and issue either permits or fines. And if we find them burning garbage, we'll contact the county solid waste disposal unit, and they'll come out. So the Fire Bureau is very specific. We cannot enforce anything, single-family or multi-family dwelling. One two-family, I should say. But if there is an open fire or open pit burning, then call the fire department, and we'll come out and...
Fireworks.
We had no jurisdiction on fireworks. That's a police matter. So, yeah, when it comes to fire pits, we take our fire inspector hat off and put on our firefighter hat, and then we can tell them to put it out.
I know they've been here, you know, Millstone's been here before for that problem, but I think...
We have that problem a lot in Millstone, and people call the firehouse, or we'll see it, and we'll go out as the fire department and have to extinguish it, and... We have called people burning construction debris and everything, and the county got involved and issued hefty fines for doing that. So
after you come and document it, then we could contact the county?
That or we'll make a notification. The last time we made a notification to the health department, they went to solid waste disposal unit or whatever it's called.
In Millstone?
In Millstone, we did. County came out.
Good to know.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, anyone have any questions?
The service, would it cost us additional on top of
No. Mm-hmm. It's all included.
Yeah. So does the contract have to be amended?
So what we would have to do is enter in a separate shared service agreement, which then would have to be sent to the Division of Fire Safety. They will review it and approve it. The borough does have to adopt all the ordinances pertaining to the Millstone Fire Bureau that we have on file. They have to adopt everything. So basically, whatever we do in Millstone has to be enforced in Roosevelt.
The Division of Fire Safety is state.
Is it
the state?
Yes, the state. So the state would approve the merger, and then they would relinquish everything over to Millstone Fire Bureau, and then we'd come in and...
So will you forward those what required ordinances are?
I did print them out for the mayor. If not, I can email her again on Wednesday all the ordinances.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Probably one of my 10,000 papers.
Well, we'll be doing ordinances.
Yeah,
we're
and then do we have to do a resolution to accept to?
You need a resolution to approve the shared service agreement and the ordinances to match up. I've done this before in other towns, so you usually do the ordinances and the introduction, and you just pass the resolution
at the same time.
Yeah,
okay.
And the next meeting is public hearing for the ordinances, and then you send a copy over to them. It should be all straight.
So I did speak to my local assistance rep from the state about this. With the holidays coming up, he was probably thinking it would be approved sometime late January, early February. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely probably say by second quarter, if not third quarter, I'd have everything updated in our computer system, and then we'd hit the ground running. So, and I believe the first go around, I will be the one coming out to do the inspections as the fire official. That way I can explain to the business owners what we are doing, why we are doing it, because a big part of it is education as well as enforcement. So, you know, a business that have been inspected and gets a list of, say, 20 violations, they're going to be wondering why. But as we go through and we explain things, we've noticed over the years when we start out, it's a long list, and then over time everybody kind of understands what we're looking for and looking at, and we come through when we find a minor sign out or, you know, the fire extinguisher got missed for service, and that's it.
As new owners of the business, is it retroactive?
Yes.
They have to pay for...
No. So the way it works is, for these people, like, it'll start, the billing will start next year.
Okay.
So they'll get billed next year sometime. So there's no back bills, there's no past
payments.
Well,
if there are discrepancies...
If there are violations,
right,
they're responsible for them.
For
fixing whatever's currently there.
Okay.
So whatever's currently there, unfortunately, they got to bring the building up to code. So it's no different than, like in Millstone, if you bought the building and you did not follow through and see if there's any open violations,
mm-hmm,
you're responsible for the violations per the fire code.
So I got a fine 5 years ago and I never paid it. The new owner is responsible.
Correct. Unless, what would you have to do is you have to apply for a certificate to make sure I do my background and the building's clear. If you don't follow through and check to see if there's no open violations, open penalties, then you've borne that responsibility. So we're actually going through that now, and there's a business in town that owes a substantial amount of money, and the fines stay with the property. So if they go to sell or rebrand it, it's the fines stay with the property.
And
it's
still the property. Yeah.
Correct.
Anyone else have anything they'd like to ask Captain Wagner?
Yeah. Who puts together the agreement? You're saying the state does, or does our attorney?
No, we
put it together, but the state has to approve it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Once the agreement is put in place and it's signed by the council and by the fire board commissioners, then we'll send it to the state.
Send it to the state. Okay.
What's between you and that? It'll all get tightened up.
I believe you guys will also be sent to the state. You guys are the lead agency.
I will email to the state or send it to the state. Correct, because we are the fire department.
We have to do it.
Just like we did with the addendum to the shared services for the EMS. Like we did all.
The resolution's accepted.
The Board of Commissioners has an attorney whose name escapes me at this moment.
Joe
Usoff?
Yes, his office is on Route 9. What's that?
That's going to be changed.
Okay. Well, whoever
you
have
is good. The location or the person?
Huh?
The location or the person?
The person. It's in place right now, but that'll be changed.
Okay. Well, just give me the new person's name.
We're actually sending out RFPs to
Okay. Ask
for a new attorney.
Okay, very good.
So.
Does the school do any fire
safety? They have their own, right? The state.
No, not the inspection. Like, for the kids, like a...
Fire and stuff.
Yeah, like talking to kids about
that. Oh, community reach out?
Yeah.
Actually, we do.
Yeah.
But you played out in this school?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So when we took over fire protection in Roosevelt, we actually reached out to the
schools.
During fire prevention week, we go out there and meet with kids.
Okay. For a long time, probably.
Yeah, well,
stop shopping.
Yeah.
So whatever, I usually go out and I get, bags with handouts and fire helmets, and we include Roosevelt in there, and I order everything for them.
Okay.
So that's what my Chantel is out there this year for fire prevention.
Just like they come to the post office at Christmas for Santa, they go into the schools for fire prevention. Yeah.
Halloween.
Yep, for
sure.
Halloween.
Yeah, 4th of July. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will.
Okay, and I will email that stuff to you on Wednesday when I'm back in the firehouse, and then we can, your next meeting is the?
The 18th.
Okay.
They won't go on until January, so ordinances.
Yes.
Resolution next
time? Greg said we'll do it all together. The resolution
Yes,
probably
in
January.
So, once we get, I'll let the mayor know when we get
there. Especially if they're getting an attorney when you reorganize.
Yeah,
probably January sometime then.
Before we come out and actually start doing the inspections, I'll let the mayor know that we're heading out, because I'm sure we'll be getting some phone calls or questions on why all of a sudden we're doing this, but.
Right.
Once most business owners realize why we're there, to protect their interests and their investments and they're all for it. So.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Ellen, are you representing Gracie and Harrison? Or is
someone
here? Okay. So Ellen is going to speak to us about the 2023 forest inventory assessment that from Gracie and Harrigan Consulting Foresters Incorporated.
Hey, Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. Okay, so it is an all-women's firm, which I thought was really cool. Which is on the side, and maybe I should just skip to the report. Okay, so this is not the street tree report. This is based on what's in our woodland area. And she doesn't like go and count every tree and measure it. It's done by making points and then doing the observation around it. And there's a procedure for that. There were 48 inventory points in town. And
so, by points, you mean like targeted trees or areas?
She actually would choose a tree and have a little metal tag out there with numbers on it. And they're still there, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's 48 of them.
There's 48 points, and she would then stand there, and her assistant would look at all of the ground area around there and count all of the understory plants and do an inventory of that. And she would calculate it using a prism of how many trees were in that area for the point.
Oh, so one area, one point could be many trees.
Oh, yes.
So there's 48 points.
Yeah, it's a plot survey based on that point. So we have 48 plots.
That could have as many as...
100 trees on.
Yeah.
So... your map here.
Yes. Yeah. Wish I had a big map so I could point it out. Official, but I don't. Okay. So these are some of the things she discovered. We have five forest stand cover types. And that is listed in the map. I compared, you know, these inventories are snapshots. This is what it looks like on the day she went out. And I compared it to our national resource inventory, which was really the last time we had a full snapshot of trees and other things. They didn't do it in the same way. They walked through, they listed what we had, they did approximate cover things, but they didn't do that plot survey. We still have very similar makeup that we did back in when the natural resource inventory was done. There are a few things in the understory that are not appearing in the new report. Part of that may be because the other report covered more area. The two areas that are in Roosevelt but under Assiniboine control, we did not survey. So that might be where those plants that I'm not seeing in this new inventory is. Or it could be that through the amount of growth we've had and it is overstocked is how it's referred to in the report. It could be that it is crowded out and, you know, there's not enough sun for these plants that I'm not seeing anymore. So our deer grouse. Yes.
One thing I noticed on the report.
Yeah.
We have an abundance of sweet gum trees.
Yes, we might as well chase the sweet gum row or something. Yeah.
And those are not really indigenous to this area, the black oak ash, black oak peach.
It was in our national resource also. We've had a lot of sweet gum here.
Yeah.
We do seem to have maybe an overabundance, so after we take care of... Yeah, she does recommend thinning the forest by getting rid of diseased, dead, you know, ones. But if we had to choose between which one we were going to get rid of, it might be better to choose the sweet gum so we can get a better balance. But I don't think we're going to get that far. this really helps us plan how to help our forest. And in this one and in the past, it's always been get rid of the invasive. And so we're going to continue. We have a pretty strong program with that. We put in 80 to 100 hours a year on trying to get rid of invasives. We are open if there's funding out there. We're into it. That we're going to continue to concentrate on. Another thing she emphasized was make sure you're up to date on where you have your trails. Make sure you don't have hazardous trees there. We do inspect those trails, you know, the trail.
You say we, the Environmental Commission?
Yes, yeah, the Green Team. We go out there, we check them, we make, you know, we do have an assessment quarterly, but also after every big rain, we go out there because it can easily have a limb or a problem. So we keep up with that. That's good. There's certainly a lot more areas to go. But I was pleased, and I have to say that one area that she just kept talking about, she really loved that area, is the one that is, you know, on our block. So that homestead farm, because one, it has so much diversity. It has two types of tree stands in it. And
you mean from like homestead around valley to farm?
Yeah, that one there, that part, the open space in the middle of the woodlands there, has two types. So it has more diversity. And, you know, it has more to offer and had a lower amount of invasive plants. So that was very interesting. Now, next meeting, you're going to be hearing about the street tree inventory. And I did get the hazardous assessment, which was part of the street tree, and Anna and I've been talking back and forth about that. She suggested that I mention some of that this time because we're going to see if we can try to knock out some of the really high hazard ones.
When you say street trees, you mean like 50 feet of the street, 20 feet?
In the right of way.
Now, when it came to the street tree inventory, it was Kevin Sebelia. I always just call him Kevin because his last name is. He measured and looked at every street tree. He's marked it on that. I have not got that report. What I got was his report on the hazards.
But the street tree is like in the right of way, like 20 feet off the street or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Okay. Street trees are street trees. He also did the park, the cemetery, and
the
school.
The what? The park? Is that what you said?
Parks, yeah.
10 feet. It's 10 feet off the curb.
Yeah, yeah, because ours is so right, right. But it's in the right of way. He did the trees in the right of way.
JCEMP are the electric people.
Yes,
JCP&L.
All right.
They were roaming around with a forester.
All right, wait a minute. The forester came.
Right.
Then a few days later, Davies from Utilities comes.
Yes, okay.
Now, some of the report with the hazards are infringement on the power lines. So we're going to go around this week and see what are taken care of. Now, I have to say with Davies, they're so focused on just dealing with the power lines that sometimes they're trimming dead trees. Sometimes they're leaving a dead limb over the road because they're not concerned about the road. They're concerned about the that power line. So it doesn't necessarily mean
we're any safer.
Under the power line is now not a hazard. It may still have problems. And, you know, neither of them were looking for, you know, this was not an assessment on what was aesthetically beautiful, you know. So nobody's on the list because they just don't look right. They had to be a real damage to the town. But of the two high-ranking hazards, a lot of them had to do with branches that are hanging over the playground at school, and trees that are dead or dying and are going to throw limbs on the sidewalks or roads. And of that group, one maybe did take care. Now, true, they trimmed it, and maybe they could have removed the dead tree, but they did get it, so now if it falls, it probably won't hurt anyone. But that still leaves three high-priority pruning in the schoolyard and seven removals that are in that high priority.
So, Ellen, now that it's been identified, what's the next step in the process?
Well, Anne and I were talking about that thesis. Well, let's see if we can get some of those real high priorities done before the end of the year. She would like to go and ask, you know.
Three tree men?
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Tree wise men.
Tree wise men.
Probably have quotes, depending
yeah.
on.
And if the quote is within a range that can be done without going out to bid and before the end of the year, let's use some of the money from this year to get.
So there's no grant money available, or?
She said there is money available, but it really would depend on, you know, if we send him out there, it really would depend on what he would say. I would say the limbs over the playground, that would be my, you know, that would be high priority and doable, and maybe he can get some of these other things done too.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that the responsibility of the school, Greg? Or is that
the
I don't know where they are.
Where the trees
yeah.
are.
That's where the trees are.
Yeah.
The pruning ones are in the woods behind the playground, so I would say that's probably town property. It depends on how far back you are, but
right.
yeah, and how far the school line goes back, because it is kind of.
But the playground must be the school's playground. It's the ones hanging over the playground are the school's responsibility.
I guess we'd have to see no, like a survey to see where the.
Would it be their responsibility if it's tree in your property? Because this is trees in the woods that have branches that go over the playground.
That might be a Roosevelt property.
Judith, would you know the answer to that?
You have no trees that are up no. I don't know. I'm just picturing the playground.
Judith is on the school
there's
board.
Not, there's, mm-hmm. not too much, there's not too much stuff hanging over the playground.
Ben, you know better than I. Where are these trees, would you say? I mean, I see it on paper, but I don't.
The playground is open.
Yeah, and then you have the wooded section.
Is that the one where the little kids' playground is, maybe?
Oh, with
the
tree there.
The little
that's on
the
school property.
Maybe
so,
that's up there.
Yeah. Ben is going to Ben from
And just for the record, Judith is on the school board, which is why I asked Judith Berkson on the school board. That's why I asked her.
Here too.
Ben Johnson, 36 Pine Drive. We were with Eric Foley and I were with Kevin when he was doing this. And the two of most concerned to him, as I recall, on the school property, it's kind of hard to describe. They both had overhanging branches that came down in the towards the back of the school, the play area. You know, there's a like a curved, semicircular climbing thing.
Monkey bars, maybe.
Yeah.
The swings.
It's not by the swings. It's farther away from that.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, the problem is that yes, it looks like there's nothing hanging over the school, over the playground, but these things are like 70, 80 feet up. And so, you know, it's like a big sweep from the ground, and there's a danger because, it's a danger because there is a dead tree leaning against it.
Yeah.
That's bigger than the one that's leaning over. So, and the one that's healthy and lean is not structurally a strong tree by nature. I forget what tree it was, but anyway, that was one case. And the other one, was a little closer to the swings, and again, a big high arch. And there, his concern was that even though it's fine now, if it was loaded with snow, the sheer weight could collapse and would reach, if it fell, it would reach all the way out to the blacktop walkway.
Pretty tall. Yeah.
Quite tall. Probably 70, 80 feet up.
Steve, would you know property line wise where...
You need to get a survey.
Yeah, but
no,
he's not
our
surveyor, right?
We could. I suspect those trees, from what he's saying, are probably on the school property, because that property goes well back into the woods.
Well, I think we need a surveyor first to make sure.
Well, you can just go on the county deeds and look for possibly a survey of the school.
You won't find it.
No? Too old?
Surveys don't get recorded. The only thing that gets recorded is subdivisions. So probably subdivisions and deeds. Not that it can't be, but nobody ever does.
I haven't known.
That has to be determined because of the cost.
Exactly right.
Along with any on the county roads, that would be county.
I didn't really talk about that. I only took the really high hazard ones. There are some that are on the county road and the high hazards that I know. I didn't even include those in the ones that we were talking about. One, because not only did Davies do here, but I think the county had a crew out doing 571.
They did. Yeah.
Okay.
Those two trees, by the way, they're within 15 feet or so of the actual grass area. They're not real deep. So, just to give you an idea.
We had a lot of work done to the school 10, 15 years ago. I don't know if there were any surveys or drawings done as part of that project, but you might find something there.
Ellen, do you want to contact the principal or come to the school board and just talk about it?
And if in fact there's
no.
You know, there's stuff on that school responsibility, then we'll... Next board meeting is the 21st. of December. At the school at 6.
Okay.
Can you bring that up for the school?
I just asked.
We'll get it on the agenda. Yeah. I just asked. Are you going to get? Will you get it on the agenda?
Well, I don't know how.
Well, you know something, nobody knows how.
Okay, moving along, we're going to come to correspondence. We have a Monmouth County general election from November 7th, 2023, statement of determination. The letter received November 21st, 2023 from Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, regarding the NJDOT grant award funding through the municipal aid program for the improvements to Lake Drive and Spruce Lane in the amount of $183,337. We have a letter received dated November 29, 2023 from Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, regarding costs for preliminary assessment site investigation for the amphitheater rehabilitation.
Before you continue, I'd like to congratulate the mayor and Lou and Joe on your recent election. Is it a congratulations?
Or is it I need my head examined? Thank you.
Joe needed the word.
Can I raise my salary?
Yeah, we'll double your salary.
Thank you very much.
So, I'd actually like to discuss two of the letters, but we can wait.
It's under.
It's under, right.
Yeah, because
okay.
We got to come up with.
Right. Okay. So, the consent agenda resolutions, we have Resolution 23-120, payment of bills for December 4th, 2023. Resolution 23-121, resolution authorizing the award of a non-fair and open contract for water utility operator professional services to H2O Services, LLC, 18 West Manor Way, Robbinsville, New Jersey, 08691, which is renewing the contract of John Holden, our water plant operator. And Resolution 23-122, resolution authorizing the award of a non-fair and open contract for wastewater utility operator professional services to Lyons Environmental Services, LLC, 1105 Green Grove Road, Suite 2, Neptune, New Jersey, 07753, and that also is renewing the contract for Mike Lyons, and who is our sewer treatment plant operator.
I'll move the consent agenda.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Turnell?
Yes.
Okay, the consent agenda resolutions are adopted. Reports of committee chairs, Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing at the moment.
Okay, Councilmember Ethicoff, Administration. Councilmember Hamilton is not here tonight. Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development. Connie, would you just try to speak up a little more?
I have a question before I go into any further report, which is, I know the correspondence was received from Camilla Roberts. It is not showing on the minutes, and I'm just wondering why.
On what minutes? There's no minutes presented.
On the correspondence, on this agenda.
Oh, and when did it come in?
I don't know the date. I have a copy of it in my email.
Okay, what is it about?
It is about $5,500 for the CAFI.
Well, that's what this
that's
is. It's number three under correspondence.
Okay. And then it's on for discussion under new business.
Okay. So in the report, I guess what I'm trying to give you a report. Is I'm not sure the procedure I've been talking about in other times trying to find how to make things work. That the objective was to get it on the agenda for tonight. can George Lyons notify?
Get what on the agenda, Connie?
I think she's talking about the resolution,
the resolution
too.
Because we got this, you know, from Robert's engineer to do the work, and we have some other time commitment here that I'm not sure we can do two things at once without having it on the agenda tonight and then on the 18th. We just need to do that in order for us to get our grant agreement. So I'm just wondering what the process is to make sure it happens. I sent out the urban underwater grant, George Lyon, all of it, that was just what we were trying to do. And I talked with Anna this morning. She said she'll talk with George. And, you know, I don't know how to make things work smoothly here. So tell me, what did I do wrong, you know, this time, not to do it, to make that happen?
I'm trying to see where...
I know there
something
was a budget issue.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough money in the borough engineer's account.
So George has to research.
So
Anna knew that when I spoke with her today.
Well, she learned that today from George.
You know, she was to go back to George and talk to him about how they were going to do it. So my question is, if the iodine toned down can be put on for the 18th of December, how does that change anything?
For getting
it in the budget.
So
because he's going to do a transfer resolution after the next meeting, and
right.
I have to go first, that transfer resolution, to transfer the money between accounts, and then the resolution will go on and we can adopt it.
So shouldn't that have been on tonight, the transfer resolution?
I didn't get anything, so I...
But it needs to make a difference. I didn't tell you, I got up when I was sick. Got all the emails, trying to get everybody involved, and I don't know what else to do.
Well,
to make it work.
There's nothing to do when George, as soon as George researches
where
he'll take the money from.
Right.
Okay, I asked him on Friday to let me know if there were any problems to get back to me as to what we're facing.
Well, I thought, I'll be honest with you, I have all these emails.
Okay.
So on Friday afternoon, you had indicated that Carmela's fee can be part of this total and not in addition to, so I think it would be part of the ordinance for bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And then he responded, well, he only answered really one of your questions.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I believe you guys left it where you were going to talk to the fund for Roosevelt about this additional funding. So in order to, okay, are they doing it?
No.
Then we have nowhere to pay for it from right now. That's why it's not here. So if you include it, when that $5,500 is approved, it has to be certified that the funds are available. There's three possible places for the funds to be available. You guys were talking about putting it as part of the bond, so then it would be after the bond. I suspect there was some conversation that happened in between the emails that I got that you figured that out, I take it.
Did you notice when I asked him to get back to me if there is anything wrong with what I have suggested? You know, on this, I need to have information back if that doesn't work. So, for instance, water delineation, as you know, was on for the fund for Roosevelt, along with the construction, you know, site estimate. Well, I don't know whether I can substitute in the 550 for that. You know, so somebody has to tell me, because there is money. It's a matter of what line does it go in? Do you see what I'm saying? Because they already told you. We have the 49.9, which we haven't spent. We have this 23,000, the fund for Roosevelt that is coming in. It happens to mention, you know, a couple of line items. Can I substitute?
Prefer.
Can we substitute the 550? We have the money.
The 5,500 we're talking about, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Not according to the agreement we have with them.
They didn't sign it. The fund for Roosevelt signed, they give us the money. We don't have the agreement from ETM, and part of the reason for that is I was told that the project agreement that was signed on April 3rd by Senator Roosevelt didn't come from us, and that they have to provide it. And I talked with them, because we provided all the documents that they had to sign because it was a public contract. So now I'm trying to find out who did prepare.
I did.
Okay. All right, so...
We just need an addendum, and so Kathleen and I were looking at this right before the meeting. So Section 5.2 says that this is the agreement, 49.9, unless otherwise requested and approved by a resolution of the governing body, which we did last meeting. So we just need an addendum for ATM to sign that just adds on. We need to do a whole new agreement.
But ATM doesn't know what he wants Kathleen, and that you'll notice in the email to Kathleen that says, and to him, you know, to work out who needs to give and what. He just looks fine, whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
The last thing I have
this from Anna from this afternoon, which you were on this thread. I will forward REG's proposal for the PASI work to Greg Cannon so that he can prepare a resolution for the 12-18 meeting. And I will prepare a certification of funds for you to sign, and I will charge engineering the OE for the $5,500. But some, Connie, it's government.
But this came together on Friday. Your last email is at 6:20 on Friday.
Yeah.
And the meeting's today.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way in government. That. Things go slowly.
And
everyone,
you have
has
a part-time
to...
CFO.
Yeah.
With all due respect, that's not a reasonable timeline.
But everyone needs money. Where it would have to be. He asked me where it should come from. I'm not the one that sets up the budget and what the line items are. I just want somebody to get back to me. And he never gets back to me.
Well, here's one from him at 2:20 this afternoon.
I have three questions in my email, and I get one answer. I mean, it's not complete.
Well, look, I can't speak for him, but I can tell you that I have Anna's email flagged that this is the next, for 12-18, she'll have the certification of funds that I do the resolution. And that's, you know, that's just the ordinary course, you know.
6 o'clock on Friday doesn't translate to a resolution on Monday's meeting. Just things go much more slowly than that.
Well, I think it's the placement of the money, too.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying.
Yes, to do it.
Yeah, Anna gets the money together, and she says we need, like, for example, Holden's contract. Anna went and got all those quotes for me. She sent it to me, said I need this on, you know, before the end of the year. And then they got back to us, I don't know, last week sometime. So then it popped on because that, you know, that's how I can't speak for anybody else. But in my view, it was unsettled on Friday as to how we were paying for it. And so then today, I believe, I got an email from Anna that said for 12-18, but was it email today?
Well, also George today said we will have to transfer next meeting.
There you go.
Although I think there may be stormwater grant expenses we can move.
Okay.
Because there's an issue, they're overextended.
Does the difference between today and the next meeting stop anything?
Yes, we can't get the grant agreement until the PASI is done. And Camilla, talk with her. Right. If she would have this, could be working on that and trying to get it for the 18th meeting. And so it's just pushing everything back.
I understand your frustration.
So will it matter in the scope of things if it's two meetings down the pipe that it's all done?
Who knows? Who knows?
I don't think so.
Because you have the Christmas holiday in there. I don't know how fast things turn around. I mean, we were having something for the last meeting that we couldn't quite, you know, get together. So anyway, that's my frustration.
If it makes you feel better, we don't do the roads any faster. It's the same process. It's not. It's certainly not anything having to do with this. Although it is a little bit more difficult. Like ETM, because Carmel will just call me and say, you know, and I don't really have any talk to them. That's where we can fix that. But other than that, I didn't think anything of it walking here. I'm like, all right, well, on the 18th, they'll have the money, I'll do the resolution. We were actually in the back just talking about it, the forum that it has to be for next meeting. That's how I know it's Section 5.2, because Kathleen and I were just in the back figuring out how we were going to do it next meeting.
Okay.
Anything else from your committee?
No.
Okay.
Councilmember Mocker, Public Works.
Well, I guess, Joe, are you going to talk about the water main break? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, nothing.
Okay.
Oh, come on. You know what?
Well, Public Works and Utilities often overlap, so. Mm-hmm. Okay, Councilmember Trammell, Utilities.
There was a water main break last week on Lake and Goose. No, Lake in the South Valley. Okay.
Right.
Neighbors called it in. John was over there within a half hour. Earl came out. I guess Carmella or John called Earl. They came out. They were there within an hour and a half.
I believe it was John that called.
John called. Okay. And they opened the road up, and there was regular old cast iron pipes like all over town that they haven't replaced over there, and they put a saddle on it. I paved it over, and so it went pretty fast. The other breaks that we've had have cost between like $10,000 and $15,000, so I'm not sure how much this one's going to be for yet. So, but that went down pretty well, and I guess we'll talk about Lake Drive paving, Peggy, a new business, or should I just ask?
Well, I was going to bring it up under, it's on under new business, so we can all talk about it then.
Okay. All right, that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe, do you know what kind of break it was?
It was
radio break.
Radio, yeah. So that's part of where the settling. Yeah, it's right at the T intersection there too. It was on the.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
Yes. Actually, it wasn't a terrible.
I think it had been. Wasn't the night before really bitter? Which is probably, you know, usually
cold.
We have when it happens when we have extremes in weather, and I think the night before was.
Yeah, but it's
like in the low 20s.
But it was like 3 feet down, which I don't know if that's far enough down, to tell you the truth. We lost my ears 3.5, 4 feet or something like that. So when I want to discuss water on that street and when it will, where does Lake fit in with the rest of the paving and everything we're doing?
Oh, well, we'll get to that in about 2 minutes, I think, close.
Yeah. That's about it for me. Aside from AT and T-Mobile, I believe, finished their work on the water tower, putting a new antenna up. And a cell phone is off of T-Mobile. Used to take like 5 minutes to push a picture through, and now it's
about. Oh, really? Because, yes, she has a lot of. Everyone who has AT&T has trouble here.
Yeah, AT&T is different. But T-Mobile, apparently.
I'm sorry, I meant T-Mobile.
T-Mobile is actually working now.
That's a miracle.
It's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And that's good for the carrier.
Okay, we've come to unfinished business. So even though the first item on here is the SCAT transportation, Anna was not able to obtain all the information she needs of yet, so we definitely should be able to have a lot more information and facts at hand by the next meeting, and then we can determine.
They need a resolution by December 28th.
Yes,
but they want a signed agreement, so we have the next meeting
right,
prior.
Council has to decide whether to retain it or not, if it's worth it to retain it. So, okay. So under unfinished.
Do you have any question about it?
What, Luke?
Do you have any question about whether you're going to sign whether we're going to or not?
Well, the dilemma was that apparently only two people used it. So I think Anna was going to find out. She was going to ascertain if it was really only two people or more. And then the council would decide whether it was feasible to keep it for two people or not.
They keep a lot of transportation.
But that's just trying to find out all of that, yeah. I mean, they do, but she's trying to get all the information. Who uses it, how frequently. You know, maybe we think it's two, but it's more. Maybe it's one.
Senior Citizens Alliance or whatever it is.
SCAT, yeah. It's Special Citizens Area Transportation.
Yeah, but that's that. But our seniors get togethers here, they might know. Is it Celeste that's in charge of that?
No, it's not Celeste anymore. But the two groups don't,
I don't believe that anyone from the seniors who meet here use SCAT. Everyone drives, I think. Don't you think, Connie? I don't think anyone uses SCAT from that group.
We had discussed if we would use it for if we as a group wanted to go to the library for events or to another county.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Do you know
that was possible?
Can it be used for entertainment, or does it have to be more for like medical appointments and shopping?
Someone out, and he said that it could be used for leisure activity.
Yeah,
okay, good. Sure, yeah.
Good.
That's for sure.
Yeah, you pay. They pay.
Pay for
it. You
know, $10 per trip.
That each person has to pay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah. Okay, well, we should know a lot more by next meeting, and then council can make a decision, because the contract does have to be signed by the end of the month.
How well is it advertised in town? Is something that
could be? Well, I know Anna's put it out on...
Many times.
The flyers.
Yeah.
So you want to know how many residents of Solar Village use the SCAT?
No, not Solar Village. Anyone in town has access to it. Yeah, whoever in town uses it.
But that doesn't mean if you don't have it that next week there won't be somebody here that now can't drive anymore.
Right,
and
you actually, no one's allowed to speak from the public right now. But wait till the public comment.
I'm reprimanded, not you.
No, but it is right. It may be two people now, but next February could be 10 people meeting. Right. Is it something you want to...
The council has to decide whether they want. I think the dilemma was that when we found out that only two people had been using it for quite some time, it was sort of it's something like $8,000 a year for the two people. So that's why the council was a little hesitant. But it's true, you don't... Who knows what the future brings. But it's just something for council to decide by the next meeting. And Anna will have more information by then.
A lot of people use.
Yeah, one time, many, they would go to the supermarket and, but we'll see. We'll know by the next meeting. Excuse me, Anna will have more information. And
I can put the resolution definitely on the 12-18 meeting.
Right.
And if you choose not to adopt,
there's a letter here that you included.
Right.
That is Monmouth County Commission.
Yeah.
I don't see any, a flat rate of plus 18 cents a mile.
Well, a half day, it's $155 they charge.
Okay.
The last page.
For each time they show up?
Excuse me?
Each time they show up?
I think it's every week they change that. That's
okay.
Well, that's why it ends up like $8,000 a year.
I think they only bill quarterly.
Okay, well, let's table this till next meeting because we'll have more.
I'm going to put a resolution on and hopefully we'll have the answers and then you guys can decide whether we pull it or...
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. I have two more things under unfinished business. So the first is that we got some calls from residents today, and Nurko Road, because of the rain Saturday, has flooded again. So at this point, I think we have to take some action with Nurko Road. The road is flooding out all the time. We have people that live on the road, school buses. So we're going to have to make a decision about remedying the problem on Nurko Road, the clogging drains.
We had offered maybe $10,000.
Yes, we did. And
the state and the county are feeding them money also. So
we did. It was voted to contribute $10,000, and he agreed to...
2 years ago.
Yeah, but I don't think the meeting ever took place between Mr. Gade and the state officials and Greg. So
Steve from the state... visits like every 6 months or so, and
but nothing's being done. It's just he's visiting, but the problem hasn't been resolved. So
I think the government offered like to do the engineering and everything.
Yeah, it's got to get moved on.
Everything is in place.
Yeah. So Greg, can you contact? It must be 2 years that we voted to.
Street.
contribute $10,000. I think that was, I forget how much that was going to leave the homeowner with, but.
To reestablish the creek?
Yeah.
We've all wanted to contribute to it. So on Reddy's side, we want to open up the drainage. On the other side, we want to make sure a lot of.
Do we know what kind of rights we have to go on his property?
And he's giving us.
There's a written easement for.
No, I mean, they're encroaching on our right of way.
Not really.
The mud and mud flow is an encroachment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem is downstream where the existing stream, Reddy says that it was filled in by silt coming from the long spar. But
we met, when we met a few years ago, the state is willing. I met with John Cloutey, and he's the steward of conservation of Monmouth County. And he said, I really don't remember because it's been a couple, it's about 2.5 years, but he said that the county would pay for a chunk, and the council would pay for $10,000, which we voted. I'm not sure if you were on the council then.
Yeah.
And, and Mr. Bade would pay for the rest. And Mr. Gotti was fine with that.
He hasn't made a move since the beginning. You know.
Well, it's kind of just got pushed aside, but.
Well, no, they cleaned out the farm side,
yeah.
So it wasn't wasn't a problem for a while.
It's
still a problem. Yeah. So I mean, it's always been a problem.
Yeah, Gotti's right there. Trees where the creek used to be. And they have to remove them. That's why the government came in and their engineers said this is what you should do. We said we'd kick in 10. The state said they'd kick in a little. The county said they'd kick in a little. So it just never.
I'm not sure if it was the state. I think just the county.
The county definitely.
Yeah, the county, yeah. Us, and Mr. Gotti.
What road? Is it a county road?
No.
It's our road,
isn't it?
Yeah. But the county's willing to contribute money to remedy the problem.
Was it the county or Green Acres?
I'm sure it was the Department of Agriculture.
You had to be part
of
the
state. Yeah, and that's John Cloutey. Yeah.
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 So that's the state.
State?
Yeah.
Well, he could be county, but the Department of
Agriculture. Yeah, I know his title is Steward of Conservation for Monmouth County.
Yeah.
So whether
that's he is part of the State Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
That's John Cloutey, who was the one that actually was over the county. He came out. The county came out.
Yeah, I just told them that.
Yeah. So we all met there 2 years ago.
But then I had an additional meeting with just Mr. Cloutey and Mr. Gotti, where we actually discussed the money, how much everyone was willing to contribute. And I can't remember what John Cloutey, what their part. But yeah, we did, but we agreed to $10,000. I want to say, I think it was $54,000 altogether. I don't know why that 54 sticks in my head. But so, 10 from us, however much in the county, and I think that left Mr. Gotti, this is really, I might be inaccurate, but around 12,000 or something.
Okay.
So
the government paid for the engineering. The engineers.
Did the engineering ever get done?
I believe so. They were out here a few times after that meeting.
I'm not sure. I thought that you and Cardinal were going to meet about it.
Would be a matter of getting
the actual. Meeting to specifically deal with that was done by the engineers and you and Mr. Gade and everybody.
I don't remember the engineering report or anything.
I think
like
I think it was discussed, but never, nothing came to fruition. It wasn't as specific.
You want me to give you John Cloutey's number to stay there?
Yeah. Yeah. You need to pick up from there.
Okay. And again, I'm going to announce that unfortunately, with the passing of Howie Kaufman, we are again in dire need of a crossing guard. He has graciously agreed to be our crossing guard starting in September, that started last September. And so we're really, I don't know what to do. I've exhausted every possible means of getting a crossing guard. And it's just been really difficult. But in Roosevelt, it's dangerous. So we've moved the crossing guard from school and Pine to the post office in the afternoons. That's when we need one for the afternoons. We've moved the crossing guard from Pine and School to the post office to School because that's obviously a lot more dangerous. But if you know anyone at all or anybody that would like some extra money or just anything, it's a danger. We really need a crossing guard at the post office and on School in Pine. So right now we only have two crossing guards. And one is mornings only. She can't do afternoons, so that's why we're... So if anyone at all knows anyone or can help out a little, that would be immensely appreciated. Okay, I'm going to go to new business. So, discussion regarding improvements to Lake Drive and Spruce Lane. We were awarded a grant in the amount of $183,000 and some change. Is it on here? Yeah, $183,337. However, the project is coming in at $789, something like that. Something like that.
No, $934.
Oh, right. It leaves us. Right, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's coming in at $934,750, so that leaves us quite a large sum of money that we would have to pay for to do the paving of Lake and Spruce.
And that's just the paving, not the water pipes.
Exactly.
Or the sewer.
Right. So we have been awarded this close to $200,000, but the job without replacing any kind of pipes is close to $1 million.
Hundreds of thousands when we start replacing parts. My question is, this 2023, we're going to Pine Drive now. Next year, we're going to do Tamara. And the next year, 2025, we're going to do North Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So would that mean that we're looking at 2026 if we follow this schedule?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been pretty good about following, actually. So.
We've been good, and we've replaced almost every street in town, or at least by the time this is
and
done.
And by 27, we start all over again.
I know, because streets have a 10-year life,
well, the
so I've been told. So
the water pipes should be good for a very
long time. Yeah, the water, yeah, just the paving is good for 10 years, has a 10-year life.
So, I mean, do we need to decide this today?
Not tonight, but I think probably, I would say... Greg, what, like maybe the next meeting before the year turns over?
We can do it for next meeting.
Okay. I mean, a bond has to be put into play.
Right.
So,
right.
Engineering has to have a say. Do we need to do the water pipes? Do we need to do
the sewer pipes? Sure. Yeah.
Drainage, definitely. You know, the lake is got
some drainage over there. Is there a possibility of shrinking the project?
I mean, two phases, possibly?
And not having the, to give back the grant money?
I don't know how that works.
You phase that?
You can do that. You can spend up to what you received, yeah.
You mean like a matching? Like they give us up 183 and...
Well, it is it's a matching grant.
Right, I mean, but then we would only spend 183?
No, but if you do half the project and it only costs half, $400,000, then you 183 and you pick in...
Right.
83 plus.
As long as we at least match it, we're good.
Yes. You just have to match that grant.
Yeah. I mean, the storm drains there off of we've already looked at that. That's like holy smokes, So.
Holy smokes, what?
Yeah, that's not that expensive.
Well, they're going to have to go down South Valley like 50 yards, something like that.
Yeah.
You know? So the drainage at the corner, the Beth side and the Solar Village side, is crumbling.
And because of the new stormwater management rules, we really have to address that because what we have is a major scour problem at the end of that pipe.
Right. So that's for a couple of different reasons that needs to be looked at.
I can't ask Carmela if she has any information about the pipe situation on Lake.
Yeah.
Maybe she, I don't know. Maybe she has
Also, we have the lift station at the end that's spruce.
Right.
And so there's a whole double layer of sewer there. So that should be televised so we'll know what's going on with it. And then, actually, since it's the old water pipes and we have had a problem there, it's like Carmella should give us a hint of what it's going to cost overall. You know. And as this is a couple of years down the pike, you know, it would be good, a heads up for us to know what it's going to cost.
Yeah, first of all, we always have to know.
Yeah. And for the most part, once that's done, the lower end of Pine Drive, there's almost all that's left.
Greg, do you know when do you have to let them know if you're accepting the 183? Because you're gonna
is this just awarded?
Yeah.
This is November 21st.
So I think
well, we received
the
letter.
You have two years.
Okay.
Well, that's before we do the contract.
Yeah, so we can do some preliminary.
Yeah, Greg, is that before we sign a contract or put the bids out?
Well, yeah, before you accept.
I believe you have to award a contract within the 2 years.
That's what
I'm talking
about.
I don't think you have to
complete it. Survey so and, yeah.
Right, so we can start the preliminary work
of
televising.
So before we have a contract, we have like 6 months of putting it together. And so we have 2 years.
I can see numbers on there. She has an estimate of the engineering cost for the putting the bid specs together?
No, not on this. No.
Okay. The next step is she usually sends us a letter that...
Well, she says we do not anticipate any water improvements under the project.
Well, we just have
we will review with the sewer operator for any required sanitation sewer improvement on Lake and Spruce.
But we might want to
follow up
by it so we know for sure. Right.
Because it's two layers of sewer pipe there, one going downhill and the lift station going back the other way. That's for half the street and a quarter of the street.
And that's not even where the break was, right?
Yeah,
I think we should do some televising. And
the break was at the corner where the drainage is a problem also. It's on the opposite corner.
Near where the path is? Near the bike path?
Yeah, it is the bike path.
Yeah.
That's where the drainage
problem
is. One of the drainage problems, you know.
Yeah. Probably why the beavers left. It's too watery.
Beavers haven't been around.
No, I know.
They're behind mine.
So it's going to be a little more complicated than all the other stuff that we've been doing here. So, you know, Carmella might want to give us, like, how much she's going to charge.
We need information. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than that, the pipes are, once that's done and Pine Drive is done, and all the rest of the schedule, we have new water pipes.
Hey, Joe, in her letter, she says, she gives some numbers in her letter about what the cost would be if we're going to do the whole thing.
Soft cost? Or?
Yeah, her soft cost.
Yeah, that's what I was asking there, Joe.
Okay, yeah.
It's in the letter.
Okay.
It's right.
What does it say, Steve?
Can I see that?
Survey design.
Not for the water sewer, just for the road.
Just for the road, yeah.
Just for the road.
That's assuming we don't need to replace any pipes, right?
Yeah.
So you guys have to make a determination: are you going to do the whole project, or do it in phases?
Right.
Phases might work. That's what happened originally on Homestead.
There's benefits and disadvantages to phases because the first half of Homestead was done in 12. And the second half is 20. At this point, 12 to 23, it's been 11 years. Streets have a 10-year life. The first half is starting to crumble.
We're back to square one.
Yeah.
You need to talk to Carmelo.
Yeah.
Because this is the letter I thought it is. So, let's say you were just going to spend the additional $751,000. The cost for her to do it is $95,000. We usually do the $40,000 first, and then we award the construction, administration, and inspection. After that, with the bonds.
Yeah, but we have to deal with the water pipes, the sewer pipes.
Yeah, if you want to change the scope of that, then those numbers are going to change, and you've got to figure out what...
Right, because I think we need to televise.
You have a while to figure it out, because that was just awarded. So
this is one that...
But you have to tell them you awarded a contract for the work within 2 years.
Right. And that's just for payment, so everything else is still...
up in the air.
Right. Yeah, but you've been using the iBank, and it... But to me, you need water. Yeah, for the water.
The sewer is going to be the complicated part.
Yeah.
Okay.
The storm sewer, though, can come out of the
initial,
out of the DOT grant.
Yeah,
you can do storm sewer with DOT money, but you can't do sanitary water.
I met a lady a couple of weeks ago at a party, and she works for state government DOT. And I'm telling her we're doing all this nice stuff in Roosevelt. She said, "Have you dealt with the federal government yet?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "We should tell Carmela that there's a lot of money available from the federal government." Come on. So speak with her one day and see what she wants to
do. I'll do that.
The federal government has a program for small communities.
I think we're tiny.
And I think we might be able to get squeezed in there.
That would be good. That would be good.
So along with our historical significance, along with our historical significance, but I've tried that before and it didn't and get us anywhere. But
the government built all of our roads,
yeah.
And there's a slant wheel grader in the sewer, not the water plant driveway. People wanted to buy that a few years ago. Now it's starting to get overgrown with stuff. So we should clean up around that and maybe some. It was one of the machines that they built the roads with here.
Yeah, it was really cool looking.
It's still sitting there, but now trees are starting to
grow. I think we should put it at the new amphitheater.
I do hollies. I don't
you have
do
hollies? I think great. These are sweet
guys. You don't have? You didn't get reprimanded for talking either, only I did.
Okay, and the second item of new business is the discussion regarding the preliminary assessment site investigation. So that will be on, the resolution will be on 12/18 meeting. I'm going to open the floor for public comment, any item at all, at 8:34.
No, Michelle, for Maple Court. This is about the trees, which I wasn't interested until I heard Alan. The triangle is a nightmare.
Tamara,
Pine, and Maple. Those trees, you know how I feel about Gail Donnelly. But those trees, I have one on my property. Those branches go dead, and they fall. And somebody, or a dog, because that's where everyone walks their dog, is going to get killed or severely injured if those trees are not trimmed. One already died. Another one is dying. There are dead branches all the time laying there. And I have brought this up before, and nothing ever gets done.
We got rid of one of the trees?
Well, it was dead.
Diseased. They're actually diseased.
Not all of them are diseased.
So when one gets it, it's...
Well, then you have to get rid of the ones on that side.
I don't even have a chainsaw. Oh, Ellen, I don't have a chainsaw.
You're kidding.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you know what? We can have tree wise men come and look.
I mean, it's bad.
I know.
I mean, I only did the tip of the report. Trust me, there are other hazardous trees listed.
But they're severely. They should never have been planted to begin with. But,
No, they're not that old.
And, you know, you guys are doing a lake drive. Those are the newest water and sewer lines, except for the end of Pine where you live. Because those houses weren't built till the 50s.
True.
Yeah, in the 70s. Yeah. So my part of Pine Drive will be the last thing that we do.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, lake...
Well, yeah, the estates are
Past, not the bottom, because my uncle lived at one, and that was the only house on Lake, and that except for the farm. And after you get to, I don't know, is that Spruce Road or Valley, or South Valley? After that, those houses were built in the 50s.
Do you know why they were called the estates?
Because
they had basements. Because it was like living in an estate. They were so much better than the original
house.
And they
all had a men's room, pink and blue metal kitchens.
Okay, anyone else in the public have anything they'd like to say?
Thank you.
The mic.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to close public session at a public comment at 8:36. Where are we? Oh, do we need a closed session, Councilor?
Do not this evening.
No. Okay. Okay. Did you just move to adjourn, Lou?
I'm sorry.
Did you just move to adjourn?
I think so.
I think you did. Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next meeting, December 18th. See you then.